Which line is this?
I'm sorry, who is that?
Marpaul, which line is this?
Which line
is I'm sorry, line 13 on the sheet that has budget FY 2011, line 13.
Thank you.
I should note that on line 11 of that, I have some sort of error message. It just says, pound value bang, so.
I saw a few things like that in the budget.
Okay, so your community event that you have in you have it set up, is that your Peace Award that's in October?
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah.
And what did we make off of that last year?
Well, he's rolling over at $23,241.
Okay.
The expenses were quite high in it, though. That was the first year we did it.
Okay, but that was our net?
That was, yes.
Okay.
I got lost, Madam Chair.
We're going over community.
No. I mean, what do you mean by net? Expenses were quite high. Was that a net? Can we get a little elaboration on those two different numbers?
It was a $23,000 net. I guess maybe, Jennifer, you're saying that one might hope that the net's a little higher on a future event because it's
correct.
Yes.
So what was the expense to put on that, to bring in those $23,000, if I may ask?
I don't have the expense statement in front of me, but it ran very close to 20.
Okay, So technically, we made about $3,000 y cachito, a little bit more than $3,000.
Cachito, yeah.
Okay, thank
you. $23,000 was gross.
I thought you said it was $23,000 net.
Oh, sorry, apologies. No, gross. $23,241 was gross.
Okay. So this was.
Thank you.
That's what I thought. I didn't recall that we had made much money on that. Okay. So what is the
8 years event, Jennifer?
I'm sorry.
The date of this year's event, September?
No,
October 18th.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, well, then that isn't even relevant because that's still within this fiscal year, so we shouldn't even be discussing it. So what is the community? This is based on the next event the following year, and what other community events?
Well, actually, they have it here in October in terms of when the revenue comes in. So we're going to have to look at that also, Jennifer and Anthony.
That wouldn't be properly booked because the revenue comes in by the time the event has been held. There is no revenue after the event.
Question?
Go
ahead.
All right. My line 13, my cell C13, says 29,682.
So that's not 33, is it?
Well, am I in the wrong place? It's the budget
FY. No, it's 24 and 3 is 27 and 6 is 33. And so column AA, line 13.
There's two Octobers, one in 2010 and one in 2011. We were most recently talking about the one in 2011, which is the next fiscal year. So that was several columns to the right.
Yeah,
you're looking at column C, which is the current fiscal year.
Yes, but I was wondering, people are discussing what we got gross or net, and neither of those numbers is 29. It's either 23 or something.
Well, that's
there are other things going on other than Peace Award.
That's what I was going to say. There's some other smaller things that
Well, I take his point. In column C, it says 29,682. Is that a gross or a net?
Can you go there?
That's the total expenses, yeah, for the month of October.
That's before expenses. Okay, do we have actuals, Anthony, for the entire year net on community events to see what we've actually made up of community events?
Right now,
let's
see. Okay, community events.
That's what will give us a little reality. We are almost
at the end. So ASOP, let's see here today.
She wants to see net.
Yeah, I just want the net because that's the only thing that's relevant in terms of putting it into the income line. And you know, as I've expressed before on these calls, I think community events are fantastic for outreach if they're done correctly.
Gross expenses. What do you mean, net income? Or?
Yeah, net income from events, from what she's asking for.
Okay, it will not show up here because that should be a separate report per event.
If you look at line 179, you're looking at 2010,
The revenue, you can go on the revenue, community events, and then deduct the expenses.
I think what they're saying is we need to see this. We need to see this up front and in center. It's fine to have the revenue, the gross revenue. It's nice to have be able to do the arithmetic and to calculate the net profit. But we need to see the net profit at this point because we're looking for coming in from the top. We want to see what the net profit is.
This is the budget. We're just plugging the figures.
Look at line 181. You have line 181. You look at column C. This is FY 2010. So you have community events. You have some expenses there. And if you go all the way across, and they're right, this right here does not. So if you go all the way across, you will see the total community events. So what if we're looking at this budget as we go through here, we see what Jennifer and Anthony and Bob will have to look at is the way they have the community event expenses in here. You have expenses estimated in September, you have expenses estimated in October. So what we need to do is to really look at if this is only the piece of art, we need to determine the expenses and the revenue has to be consistent. And that you have expenses both in September and in October, so you have to determine where it really belongs. So there perhaps is an opportunity on expenses in October 10, line column 0,
so
line
279. If you want to know the income, you will see on October line 13, that's the revenue, $29,682. And if you deduct the expenses, then you're going to get the income. Expenses is 23 something. So you get the revenue, 23,241. So 29
minus 24. But the question right now is that you have expenses in both September and October. So you have to determine where exactly is that.
23,241. So you have a revenue of like 6,000.
Right.
Okay, and it seems to me that when we're preparing these budgets, when we're talking about things like community events and we're going into the budget, that there needs to be some little caveat note if it's appearing as a gross line item. And I understand, like, listener support is always gross. Just what do we take in? Obviously, then we deduct all of our expenses, salary, and everything where the money actually goes to, right? You know, premiums, the whole nine yards. But with community events, I think sometimes people have the erroneous impression that, like, oh, and there's $40,000. And it's like, no, there's $2,000 because it costs $38,000 to do. And, I think that's really what we're getting all hung up on here is that, you know, if it says $33,000, you think that's $33,000 revenue when it's really $5,000 revenue after you get done with what it took to pay for it, not counting staff resources. And
so the expenses are there at the bottom of the page. You subtract the revenue from expenses.
Right. No,
but
I know.
What you want to see, let me just say, what you want to see is that on the assumption page, we want to add the assumptions for community events, and you show the revenue, and you show the expense, and you show the net. So we will add that to the assumptions page.
Yeah, I think it gives a lot more clarity to simply have a secondary line that says net. You know, you can have the expenses where they belong in the expense section.
Yeah, but you get that on the monthly report.
I know. I'm talking when we're talking budgets.
We're talking about budget.
People have unrealistic ideas. Community events basically cost us money because by the time you factor in staff resources, which are diverted from things like fund drives, in fact, they make us no money whatsoever. They're simply things to outreach to the community most of the time, at least here at KPFK. And I'm not saying some of us,
I disagree with that assessment. I disagree with that characterization, I guess. Your staff, you pay your staff to do various things in a job, right? Fundraising is one activity. Outreach activities is another activity, right?
Right, no, but I'm saying
both are important. One makes more money for the station. The fundraising, our principal form of fundraising, is on air. But the outreach, what you want to do is produce an event that does make money for the station, but it also is your face to the public, so that public is more encouraged to give during fund drive. So So it has payout that you don't see in dollars.
Yes,
well,
no, but I'm
it
saying it
will,
more,
but you see it in dollars eventually.
It's more categorizable as an outreach tool than as an income-producing tool in itself. That's all, and that's what I've reiterated before on finance committee, is that it should be viewed as an outreach tool more than as a revenue production tool, you know, necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very good. Thank you. Yeah, anyway, that would be helpful, I just think, in general, on the assumptions page, just to have the gross and net listed together, particularly on community.
We'll add that to the assumptions page.
Thank you. I appreciate it, because I just think it'll save us time on future meetings. You know? And CPB funding, is that anticipated to be similar to last year, more or less? Can you just cruise past that and let us know?
No, I believe those are the preliminary numbers that Lynn has that she's communicated to the for the budget. So I think that's what our preliminary numbers are. We'll check those too.
Okay, but I mean, are they approximately the same as last year? Are there any?
No, I think it's a little bit higher.
Tiny bit more. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But remember, last year we got, or this year, fiscal 2010, we got
stimulus
of $153,000.
I remember.
Similar. Yeah. So, yeah, but I think it has increased a little bit. We'll show a chart. So you want to see a chart comparing CPB to 2010 to 2011.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'll write that down.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, actually, when I was looking at the pie charts and flow charts and things last night that had been prepared by Ken Aaron, I love graphics because they show you trending in such an easy way to go, we're going up here and we're going down there, and, you know, so I'd like to... And comparisons between units as well, things that just facilitate understanding of the numbers for everyone. Okay, are there any more questions on the revenue line items from anyone on the committee, or can we move on to expenses? Okay, hearing none, please take away with expenses.
Okay, so we want to start. Let me go to the budget. Anthony, if you look at the assumptions, Anthony has, if you want to look at the assumptions page, Anthony has very detailed information on how to calculate the expenses for the drive. You know, he has the direct mail in terms of the cost there. He has any telemarketing expenses. He has the
foreign, which sheet are you on and what line?
The assumptions sheet.
And okay, what line are you reading?
Okay, well, I'm just going through each one. Right now, I'll go to salary number 9, 141.
Line 141?
141, line 141.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anthony, why don't you take off just in terms of basically, you know, he has assumptions.
Yeah, we have the formulas here and how we calculate those expenses like salary. Like there's a 2% increase by end of October, so that's why you see 2% there.
That's for the union contract, correct?
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Social Security computations, Medicare, and SUI taxes that will, you know, when you plug this in, that will calculate, you know, the salaries.
I have some questions on the salaries, but I'd like to, does anyone else want to take a stab first? Okay. Again, I was looking at these trends from 09 to 010 and saw that our income is declining slightly, not hugely, and our personnel costs are increasing, again, not hugely, but precipitously. And what I would like to know specific to salaries, this is one of the things I'd like to take up in greater depth in the executive session, but we have people who were unbudgeted in last year's budgeted, three positions that were added at our station. The money being used to pay those positions is coming from the two unfilled positions that are budgeted. In this coming year's budget, was it contemplated in the salary projections the retention of those three unbudgeted individuals and the hiring of the two budgeted individuals, and do we still stay within budget at that point? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Do you want to go ahead and take these discussions on salaries and positions into a closed session?
Now, if we want to discuss anything
which
particular,
person?
I'm pleased, okay. But
if we start talking about individuals, we definitely need to go to close.
No, I have no desire to talk about individuals. I'm happy to talk right now just in generalities, but we have two budgeted positions which are not.
The reason why salary is increasing, remember, you have the union contract. So all of those 2%, so you have 3 years.
Right. Well, the other, what I'm asking specifically, Anthony, are
you... Yeah, we have a new people coming in, like Margaret Prescott.
Well, don't discuss
that. No, we really need to, again, we need to take...
No names.
Why don't we, Anthony, are you able to stay on for a small amount of executive session this evening if we cruise through the rest of the budget, or...
I know you... Sure.
Yeah. We,
all right. Yeah. Arlene, are you able to stay on for the executive session?
If you would like me to, I can, yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, we've had executive sessions scheduled for the last three or four finance meetings to go over personnel issues. And
sure.
Some of these things that would be helpful to have, but if, LaVarne, if you're on there, you know what I'm talking about, at least we can...
I'll be glad to be there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so why don't we move ahead? You have, like, if you look at the assumptions page again, like Anthony is saying, there are certain factors that he's using to calculate costs. And I know one of the questions that you've had in the past was the cost of premiums. And what Anthony does is he very accurately, he'll accrue the expenses that's related to the revenue that's generated in the month that the revenue is generated. That would include premiums. And sometimes it's a little higher than others, and sometimes it's lower. So at one, there was a question about premiums, and it was also a question about the fund drive, as Anthony said, going across the fiscal years. So if you look at the rate that he uses to calculate premium costs, Anthony, is this the premium cost? Was this adjusted sum? The calculation in here, the rate to use in relation, line 247 on the assumption sheet, column F. 247, it has rate to use in relation to listener support income. It's like 10%. So is that, that's about where you think we'll stand in terms of the premium cost? Has that been adjusted somewhat, or that's what has been happening in this year? Because also, you know, when we do this budget, there are always risks and opportunities to the budget. So if the rate is 10%, and if that's what we're having now, if that's the rate that we're experiencing in 2010, you know, if we put into effect some cost savings, maybe there's an opportunity in premium costs. Do you think that there is, or do you think that this is the rate that basically reflects our experience this year?
LaVarne?
Yeah.
It's a design thing. The thing is that it is the policy of the premium department to have our cost to be 10% of the cost we charge the customer. So if we get a CD that costs us $10, then we multiply by 10, and that's the price. We get $100. That's what we charge the customer. So that's our standard way of doing it. So it's a 10-to-1 multiplier. People realize they can get it cheaper in the real world, but they're giving a donation to KPFK, and so they accept that those premium prices. That's the theory. So since that's the standard, it's unlikely to get changed unless you wanted to change the policy and give them even less value and make them give an even larger fraction as a donation. That has to go into the calculus. So, you know, in the donator's mind as to whether they're getting a reasonable value for their donation. And so this reflects the continued experience of the premiums department, and I don't think that we should meddle in that at this point without at least talking to them about that, because they have all this experience, and we really should weight that experience very, very strongly.
Right, I hear what you're saying, and I hear you say that using that as a planning tool. I'm talking about the actual experience. If that in terms of the value of the premium to what the request is from the listener, you know, I understand that point. But I'm talking about the actual experience, because we do different types of premiums. Some premiums are very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and some if we get from the archives or in house, it's much lower. So I'm talking about the actual experience versus, you know, what we are actually in terms of our goal, in terms of what we're delivering to the subscriber, in terms of the cost versus what we're asking the subscriber or to to actually contribute to the station.
Well, you know, I think it might be worthwhile. This is another one of those unit-to-unit comparisons where I love these pie charts and spreadsheets and graphs because they're great for visually understanding. It would be helpful at some point, not immediately, but to have a better picture of what the premium sourcing is for each unit. You know, how much do they source in-house, how much do they source from elsewhere, and the cost, and again, take a comparison between, and, you know, there may be cost savings that can be identified right off the top if we had a better overview of the situation.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Alberto.
At KPFT, it's the same policy as you all, 10%.
Okay.
Basically, that's our goal, that it be 10% of the request for donation.
That's okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is fairly standard. Thank you.
So, question?
Yes, I'm sorry. Who's that?
So does Anthony know, or does Terry know, is that our policy, too, with archives? That is to say, if there's something from the archives that we charge a listener $100, do we automatically give the archives 10%, $10, and we get a $90 profit on that? Is that the standard thing? That is to say, is our internal pricing from the archives the same as our external pricing from, you know, XYZ bookstore?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. So that helps to support the archives, obviously, when we source internally.
Of course.
Well, so,
sure.
You know, and I did have a question, LaVarne, which related back, I believe, to Bruce Wolf's question last week. When I was looking at our budget last night, I saw PRA popped out as a separate line item. I saw FSRN popped out as a separate line item. And I saw health care insurance popped out as a separate line item. Which brought me back to mind as to exactly what Central Services is covering. We don't have to go over that tonight. And I know we have the national office budget, but it might be helpful to clarify these discussions if at some point when you have time to just give us, like, just a short, you know, the list. This is covered by your Central Services. And this is what's covered by the national office, but that gets billed back to your station separately. This is not part of Central Services because there's this confused issue comes up on a semi-regular basis of not understanding what's covered by Central Services versus what's paid for out of the national office in a centralized fashion but is billed back separately to the stations and is on top of Central Services. And if you could do that, I would be very grateful because it keeps coming up as an issue.
Right, and we can do that when we do the national office budget because, you know, you're talking about the satellite fees, you're talking about democracy now, insurance premiums, not the health benefits, but insurance premiums for all the stations.
But you know what I'm saying.
We will absolutely go over that when we do the national office budget, which we should schedule soon.
Shortly. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Even a one-page breakout would make that easier. This is what's covered by Central Services, and this is what's paid for by the national office, but billed back to you.
That's what I've sent out in our little in my little things that I sent out each month.
Excellent.
I show those because there is seem to be some you know, not really clear about what it is.
Yeah, and it comes up from time to time, sometimes on a different issue or item. You know, I mean, somebody will say, well, what about this thing? You know, so that way we'd have a standing list. This is what it is, so when it comes up, you know where it belongs. You know.
This is Alex.
Alex, go ahead.
I just have a very simple question. Can you give us an explanation of the very high variances on the expense side? I'm looking at a variance of 63% for salary.
Wow.
71% for board expenses. Look at line 29, line 30.
Is this an assumption?
I particularly don't understand how the board expenses are being projected.
What are they down for board expenses for us? I looked at it last night. It looked very high.
I see the $28,840 projected for September.
That's got to be elections right there.
Oh.
What was the line number again?
We have, like, no board expenses except for our rental and a little bit of refreshment. I mean, we have very low regular board expenses, so the multi-thousands, it should be in conjunction with the election.
Question,
why would that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Line 30.
Line 30?
Yeah.
In what sheet?
The budget, FY 2011.
I think that's adding together administrative. That looks like administrative and board expenses. This line 131 looks like total administrative expenses, not total board expenses.
Okay, so that shouldn't be mixed with the board at all because we always have our board expenses popped out separately. And of course, if it's September of 2011. We don't have an election next year. So
there is no election. That's what I was wondering.
Exactly. So is that a mistake or an anomaly?
That line should read, I think, total administrative expenses, not total board expenses. Line 131 should read total administrative expenses.
Okay, and what is the total on that one?
So it has total administrative expenses, and then it has board expenses, and then it bid line 131 should be our line 116 should be subtotal administrative expenses, and then line 131 should be total administrative expenses.
And do we have some of the costs of this year's election flowing over into fiscal 2011 in October, which would be the only place that it should be?
I don't know about it. Nobody told me that there will be no elections next year.
Jeez. Okay, Anthony. This is a number that you have not been supplied with, in other words.
It's not.
I'm just assuming that that's why the figures is there. I'm just assuming there will be another
election.
Same as last year.
Okay.
Not true.
No, but there is no election
next
year.
If there is none, then we can remove it.
Well, but there will be expenses legitimately carried over from this year's election because it's September, October, November. So the election, you know what I mean? The expenses fall.
A little bit of money.
I'm sorry?
A little bit of money is going to go into the 2011 budget.
It should be in at the beginning. So, again, Anthony, if we can
how
look
much,
at
how much
actual from last year, that would give us a projection as to what to expect and anticipate this year.
Okay.
Because it would have been held at the same time.
So there will be no election on 11. I'm going to remove it.
Yeah, no election on 11 at the end, so there should be no expenses in September of 11, but there should be expenses in October and November that are residual to the
The other, you know.
So if you could look at last year's, we were in the same position with an election held at the end of fiscal 09 with some expenses trailing into fiscal 10. Whatever those expenses are at the beginning of fiscal 10, they should be the same basically for fiscal 11.
That's correct.
We can
correct that, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for finding that, Alex.
On the 30th.
Yeah, what about the variance on salaries?
Now, what do you see on variance on salaries there, Alex? Are you saying budget to actual, there's a 63% variance?
Yeah.
Alex, what line?
129.
29.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to go down to line 70, please.
Line 70?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tremendously concerned about
salaries.
What
does that mean?
Okay.
Alex, when you said there's a 63% variance between what and what?
Yeah, your salaries from September estimated at about 90. It goes in October to 106, down to 102. So to 102, basically, 106, 102.
Well, these are the unbudgeted salaries. Okay. That's why I want to discuss this in executive session. We have what I consider to be line item abuse.
So this is because this template is done by Berto. So he did that, you know, comparison.
But what is he comparing to?
Actually, he's comparing the actual from the budgeted. That's why there's a big disparity.
Well, of course, because people were hired who weren't in the budget. I mean, I've only been doing this drum for the last 8 months.
What I'm saying is the actual until June only. That doesn't include July, August, September.
Okay.
That's why you're seeing a big variance difference there.
Well, this is something. Let us.
So there's an extra quarter that's not accounted for.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it'll be even bigger is really what it comes down to. And this is, I really hope this is what we will chew on shortly in executive session because it's, you know, the whole thing of not varying from a line item by more than 10% is beautiful except when you can drive a truck through the line item and vary as much as you want because it's all within the line item. It just isn't what the line item was supposed to be covering. So we have big budgetary issues when it comes to salary. We definitely have salary creep and declining revenue. So these issues have to be resolved to not, you know, to avoid a budget crisis. So hopefully we can, you know, in about half an hour discuss the rest of that. What else, Alex? Did you have any other things that were terribly variant that you mentioned?
Okay. Well, there's the other expense items, programming, development.
Okay.
Community.
Okay.
Programming development, I guess, are the major ones.
And what is the variance?
I'm seeing large variances for them too. There's,
what? How much is the variance?
Look at line 32 and 33. And okay, so there's a quarter of actuals missing, so the variance should not
25%.
Be as large.
As it is. Sure.
But still,
there's something that is Berto needs to fix, you know, because he did the template, so.
Well, no, but
okay.
The variance is maybe a legitimate variance. I mean, we do have, like, really wild variances on.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, it's not the full year.
Gotcha. Okay.
I understand. But it's still,
60%
is, you wouldn't expect to see 60% if there's a quarter missing. Maybe you'd see
30%. 25%, 30%
matters. It should be computation errors.
Well, if we could make a note, please, to get the accurate information, and it is important to have the difference of what these line items are, budget versus actual, because we have to stick to these budgets to be fiscally responsible, and if there's, like, huge variances, then these issues have to be addressed. And sometimes those of us on the board are aware of actions, which obviously will result in huge variances, and, you know, and then nothing's done about them for, like, a year. They just live there, so we need to address these issues. So if you could please, maybe Anthony, contact Berthold just to make sure that the numbers are accurate as much as possible.
Well, this is LaVarne. The formula is in here. For column AB,
uh-huh.
It has 10 actual. Actually, this is 10 forecasts. It takes up the actuals through June and then the forecast through
So they
September.
Should be accurate. So they should be accurate.
What do you mean? It adds them together. So, you know, the accuracy is only, you have a forecast in July, August, September.
But if it's based on the actuals, it should be an accurate forecast if this has to do with salaries. It's not like they're changing in the next 3 months.
Then
we do have real numbers we're looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, the number for July, the estimate for July, you know, hopefully. I mean, I have July's I think I have July's salary right here. I can just check it while you guys continue to talk.
Thank you. Well, and I do have one other question about that. When Alex, when you say it's 63% variance, is that on the entire personnel line item, or is that taking into account the fact that people have been hired who weren't in the budget, and other people who are in the budget have not yet been hired? Is there a more specific breakdown within that, or is it just saying there's a 63% variance overall on the personnel line item?
This is LaVarne.
LaVarne, please. Go ahead.
Okay, like for July, it has the estimated gross salaries of $89,245.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually, that looks like, I'm sorry, I used to be able to add. Actually, it's higher than 89. It's 94, almost 90, it's almost 95, and 95,000 for July gross salaries for KPFK.
Okay.
It's almost 95,000 instead of 89.
And
so that was just the estimate. So, you know, until we, you know, these are forecast or outlook for July, August, September.
That's the reason why it's different.
Actual number. Anthony will have his actual numbers shortly in there.
Right, but I think is the crux of the matter, we need to know, I guess, what was budgeted for each month for those, for this last fiscal year versus what's actually being spent, because that's obviously.
Yeah, he has here's the budget also. There's the 2010 budget. And better worse than, okay, wait a minute.
And what was budgeted for personnel for each of these?
For gross salaries. Oh, if you go to line 70, column, you have AB, you have column AC, and we have.
Yeah, those are,
Okay, let me just, I'll pull out my budget book here. For
Thank you.
Okay, just check the numbers.
Hey, could I ask our
people? Yes, Paul, is that you? Go ahead.
Yeah, our Paul. On line 70, column AC, I get that pound value bang thing again.
I had a whole lot of that stuff in the budget I looked at last night, too.
That what?
All right, Paul, try widening your column to see if it's being constricted and that you're trying to put in a big fat number into a narrow column.
No,
it's just there were a lot of columns that had, like, placeholder stuff in it.
Well, I don't know. That's
you don't know what it is.
The formula is equal plus AA 70. So
it's trying to tell you something.
Plus equal N. I don't know. Let me try something here and see if I take out. Oh, that doesn't work well. It doesn't do anything. There's some sort of. AA 70.
Or Paul, what's the date of the budget? Are you working on the August 3rd version or an earlier version?
Must be earlier because it's, let's see, KPFK budget template preliminary FY 2011 as of July 2010.
Well, that's it. So what's happened is it's your version is missing a number that goes
somewhere,
into that.
Yes.
So you need to get the August 3rd version.
But we're talking about this version. We were told to bring up this version.
Right.
Oh, I see. Well, that could explain. Well, yeah, well, we should use the most recent version. Anthony gave me a copy of the August 3rd version, which I'm looking at, and I see the 1,241,000 value. So the August 3rd is more current than the version you have.
Well, let's do the best with what we've got now. Local finance, and again, I'll reiterate it again, this is the case for all units. We need to get these budgets finished, edited, correct, the numbers balanced and everything at our local stations before we bring them back up here to national finance. The next time I personally want to see any of our budgets, except for the ones that we have not yet reviewed, is because they've gotten thoroughly vetted and handled and, you know, whatever needed to be changed about them changed locally and at the LSBs before they come back here to NFC and then they should be good budgets that we can actually vote on, I hope.
Well, put me on the queue, please.
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that this is useful to have the NFC look at it because it's crucial to have Anthony here with the NFC because then we find out what these issues are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I agree. I'm just saying.
And then the LSB, and our local finance and LSB needs to take this, but it's helpful to have this discussion before we try to respond to the budget because otherwise we'd be in the dark.
Oh, no. I agree. I think it's helpful on all of our budgets to have, like, the one swipe at the NFC where all sorts of other members spot things and ask questions. But then, like, then we have the editorial things that need to be worked on. We need to do that back home. That's really all.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, LaVarne, did you have those actuals up yet versus budget or no?
Actual versus budget for this year?
Just on the personnel. Just what was budgeted for personnel?
Yeah, for the gross salaries for the budget. For KPFK, the gross salary, the number is $1,084,000, and the actual their projected is $1,090,000. So that's very close. But we know that the number that's in for July. Wait a minute. That's the number.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the number. For July at $89,000, it actually came in at about $94,000 for gross salaries for KPFK. So it looks like the gross salaries are
a little higher even.
Yeah, we'll be a little higher.
So far what we're looking at is it was projected at $1,840,000. Is that what I heard? And
the projection that's on this sheet is $1,090,000, $90,500. The budget
90,000, not 900,000.
No, 90.
Oh, okay.
And the budget was 1,084,000. So right now it looks like it's going to come in about 10,000 higher than the budget for 2010.
My issue with that is, in order to have clarity on our actual budget, is we need to deduct the two major salaries that were budgeted into the 2010 budget that were not paid out.
Let's talk about that.
Right, because once we take those out, we're way over budget on personnel, okay? Do you know what I mean? And fiscally speaking, that has to be resolved before we approve next year's budget. We're looking at it right now. We appear to be 10,000 over budget, but we're really more like 200,000 over budget, okay? So now we're 180 or 150,000. I mean, it's a tremendous amount over budget on personnel when you deduct the actual budgeted salaries and the contemplation of the filling of those positions. Okay, so it's like a real...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I add the effect that when that happens, if it comes to pass that, for example, there's $200,000 short in the KPFK line item,
mm-hmm.
the ones that end up paying the duck, like we say in my world, mm-hmm. is the national office because they're not going to get their central services. So it's a double whammy.
Or what will end up happening is we'll have a real buckle in our budget in the middle of this coming fiscal year by not resolving. I expect to resolve this issue, hopefully, you know,
and the national And the national office is not going to get their central services because the experience shows that when your budgets are running short at your local station, the ones that don't get the money is the central services going to the national office.
Sure,
and that's
so
a double whammy. It's a double whammy on the foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, and it behooves all of us to be realistic about our budgets and be honest about where the money's going and not approve a budget that basically folds into it disaster by not being, honest about what positions are being filled and which ones are contemplated by the budget. So, okay, excellent. Thank you. What is the next line item that you would like to discuss, LaVarne or Anthony?
Anthony, at this point, as far as the expenses and looking at, any of the planning factors are the ones that we've gone over in terms of we want to put the budget in on this worksheet, the spreadsheet, so that we can review the budget also against the forecast. Anthony, what are the other major items that you guys or Jennifer that you want to speak to at this time?
Well, basically, you will see all the expenses there, and
Well, I have a couple questions before we let Anthony go. Actually, if there's no other questions or things that you want to specifically highlight,
I thought we're keeping him for executive session.
I'm not sure if he's staying for executive session. That's why I was asking if both LaVarne and Arlene will be here for executive session. Then, I don't think it's necessarily necessary to keep Anthony for executive session because I don't know that he has, all the answers to those questions. But LaVarne certainly is cognizant of the financial implications of these things, and Arlene is the ED, So I think we'll probably be able to progress. But I did want to know, Anthony, is there any provision within this current budget for resuscitating our news department, for rehiring stringers, or for anything whatsoever to do with stringers, reporters, or news?
No.
No. Okay. And what about...
Except the existing ones.
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay, and what are those, to refresh them? We have one person listed as a producer, and that's all that I could find. Is there anything else?
On the news department? Or?
Yeah.
News department, we have Ernesto Arce, and then we have a temp, Pritz.
Stringers.
Daniel Pritz, yeah.
Okay, what lines are those?
I'm sorry.
We have a reporter, and we have a part-time reporter.
Okay, what lines are those?
I think actually Ernesto's title is news editor.
Okay, give me the page and the line number. Are we under assumptions?
Which one?
I just want to see the items for the news department. What sheet?
The salary?
He wants to see budgeted for news department.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't budget anything. Are you referring to the salary or?
Or anything.
just show me where
the expenses, we don't have anything on the news.
Because we have no news. Okay.
Except on the salary only.
Okay, so show me where it is in the salary.
It should be there on the payroll.
Okay, what line? Well, actually, this one you gave me the salary numbers don't show. It all shows as pound signs.
Oh, yeah, because you remember we put a password on that.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm using it on a station computer, so I don't really... Well, actually, I'm still on my drive, on the flash drive. But anyway, what line is it? You're going to see where it is. What line will I see the news department in the salary section?
If you go into payroll data entry, you will see... Let's see. You see there, news reporter...
What line number?
That's number 14.
Number 14. Okay, I see a news reporter and...
Mm-hmm. And then on the line 23, news producer.
Okay, now are these full-time or part-time positions?
Part-time. It says PT, it's part-time.
PT, okay, and when you say part-time, what fraction time? Is it half-time, 10% time?
4 hours.
It's half-time. Part-time is half-time in our definition, correct?
40 hours a week, then they will call maybe 20 hours a week. Or
so
30.
Both of these, line 14 and line 23, are half-time?
No.
I don't know the answer to this
news
question.
News reporter number 14 is full-time employee.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's full-time, and then the one,
and then
and 23 is half-time?
23 is part-time only,
Half-time?
Part-time.
Well, how much part? What part?
Part-time, like, should be working, we have 40 hours in a week, probably 20, 30.
Well, I just want to know what it is so that we can talk about it. So you're saying line 14 is full-time, and line 23 is part-time, and I'm asking what the part is. Is it half, 30%, 90%?
Well, part-time is anything less than the required full hour, which is 40 hours per week, so
but what is,
maybe
but what,
25 hours per week.
Well, I'm asking what is budgeted.
This is LeVar, and I'm back. You know, when we start talking about specific positions, you know, can we, Anthony, if you can stay on just for a short time.
Yeah, it would be helpful if Anthony could stay with us.
Can we go in there? Because it seems like all these questions concerning headcount and personnel.
Yeah, we've got huge personnel issues at KPFK, so I think it would be helpful if he could stay for a moment.
If we move quickly.
I did have two other questions, Anthony. Was anything budgeted into this budget for the replacement of the broken audio equipment in the news department? Because I've been told that I couldn't cover something and nobody else could because there wasn't a single working audio pack in our news department that could be checked out. Is there anything in this budget to replace that kind of basic broken equipment that makes it impossible to do radio?
Yes. Yeah, we do have a maintenance section. We just actually repaired some Marantz kits.
Okay. Maintenance? Because I've always been told maintenance covers things like the janitorial service and,
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know the correct line item title. That's something that Anthony knows.
Okay, Anthony, I guess we would like to get some sort of breakout on those type of equipment things. And also on
maintenance, when it refers to something technical, it's called maintenance technical, like security and all this stuff. But if it doesn't involve anything technical, it's called non-technical, yeah.
I would like to see these things broken out more because people have different priorities.
Equipment,
you know?
Repairs. Also on the maintenance technical.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe this is something we need to change in the budget because I really think things that relate to sort of our on-air production capacity should be separated out from things like building maintenance and repairing doors and toilets. At least that's how I feel about it because you look at those line items and you frankly can't tell the difference between fixing a doorknob and fixing a broken microphone. And it makes a difference because the priorities of different people are different. And for some, it's going to be to fix all sorts of one type of equipment, and for others it may be to fix other types of equipment, and we don't get any type of...
Yeah, but, you know, we're trying to avoid having a lot of accounts.
Well, no, maybe just the way Efren used to do drop-down windows from each of those things, if we could get the drop-downs that say this is what this money is allocated for, for each of those things, especially, you know, the very amorphous budget lines like maintenance technical and maintenance non-technical, like... For instance, the air conditioning, do you have an estimate? I mean, I've been hearing about the air conditioning for three solid years. Every year's budget, I hear air conditioning. Do we have air conditioning scheduled into this budget? Is there still parts of air conditioning that need to be paid for that you're aware of?
On that, on 2011, we did not put anything. We only have, like, you can see the capital budgeting is like $39,000.
Okay, but do we have a drop-down window, or can we have something that will give us more specificity on what that $39,000 is supposed to be for?
Okay, let me send you this summary.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It's those types of things, you know, I mean.
Send it to us all, please, not just the summer.
Yeah.
So what's your email?
Oh, it's natfinance.com.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Somebody want to, is there somebody in front of a computer?
Arpal,
help.
Arpal, can
well, okay.
LeVarne, because LeVarne has... LeVarne, are you in front of your computer?
This is LeVarne. I'm sorry, what did you
is
ask?
Is it possible you could just email Anthony the National Finance address,
email.
Or if he has it, so he can send out this thing to us?
Let me point out he's not a member of the list, so...
Okay, just send it to me, Anthony, and I'll send it out.
There you go.
Okay, better way.
Thank you.
I just sent you guys the document just within the last couple of minutes. Anyway, the KPFA fundraising for KPFK and then also the major payables. I think that went out with the package for the PNB meeting, but I just sent it again.
Thank you. Yeah, and the major payables for everyone, because I think that's a concern to many members. It's a discussion. I mean, I think we've reached the point in a year where we needed to discuss contingencies just in case, you know, network-wide, because we have a lot of outstanding payables in relation to our income at this point. And
yeah.
It feels very much the way 2008 fell when the dog days of summer come and you run out of money.
Last year, every...
Please, okay. Please.
But let me just say that 2 years ago, we were out shopping for $1 million loan.
Right.
And I'm just setting up a $300,000 line of credit.
Right.
So
I just want to make sure we don't end up in that place again. We're looking good.
I don't think so. But we do have major payables on, and I can say it on Democracy Now!, so we really need
okay, send it out, okay.
Thank
that.
You. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Laverne.
Yeah, I have a question.
Is that Don?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a problem with the email list. I think I'm on one list but not the other. When Laverne sends things to me personally, I get them, but when she sends things to the NFC list, I seem not to get them, and I just don't understand what it is, because tonight I got an email from her, but I didn't get the thing, the earlier one that she said she sent out at 5 o'clock. That one just didn't show up.
Okay, so we have an issue there that I need to check on. You were the last person to be added to the National Finance Committee, Don, so this may be an error on my part.
And I do get the announcement, the invitation saying, you know, yesterday it said there was a reminder to coming through. But the data's not coming through. I can remember. I'd rather have the data if I had to choose between the reminders.
Okay. I think this is an issue I have to resolve. So,
Summer, this is Alex.
Yes, Alex.
We seem to be running kind of late on this meeting. If we have a lot more to cover, and it sounds like we do, maybe we should
adjourn.
Have a part two at the next meeting of the KPFK budget.
Well, I'd like to, if there's no objection, we could adjourn right now, go to the brief executive session, cover some of these personnel questions, and then let Anthony and Laverne and Arlene, we could all get off the line, because I agree, it's gone on for quite a while. Is there any objection to doing a short executive session?
Well, I need to send a number to Anthony, so let me just find the number.
But from the rest of the committee, Alex, do you object if we do that and make it expeditious?
Summer?
Yeah, not at all.
I need to walk next door and get Anthony to give me an unlocked version so I can look at these numbers that we're going to be talking about in executive session.
Okay.
Madame,
yes.
So I just need a minute or two for that.
Oh, that's no problem. It takes everybody a minute or two just to get on the next call.
Chair?
Yes, Alberto.
Can you get John to give Anthony the access code for the executive session since he's going over to the next door?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
There you go.
Yeah, so that he can get on the call, and
Beautiful.
That'll save Laverne doing another email.
Yeah,
and he can prepare to put it on my flash drive, too. I'll carry it over there.
Great. Beautiful.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Anthony. So is there any objection at this point to adjourning this public session and going into executive session? And hearing none, thank you all, and we'll reconvene in just a moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Later.
Okay.
Sort of finish.